You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Where you'll hear them. That's them. At the break of dawn, get your coffee on. Coffee. John and Gordy on the radio. 92.7 is the place. That's where you'll find them. Drinking lots and lots of coffee.
That's John Peterson. I'm Gordy Young, along with Dominic Lee, our producer, and Matt Rothschild, still with us.
Yes.
And we've got a lot more to talk about. 7 minutes past the hour. Clouds around the area today and maybe a couple of sprinkles here and there, and highs just into the low to mid 60s. Going to stay nice and cool for today.
All right. Why don't we get into the next global war that we're going to have with Venezuela now that we've knocked a boat out of international waters, Matt? What do you think about something like that?
Well, I mean,
what's your take?
You know, every day it's something new, isn't it, here? I mean, it's just, yeah. You don't want to wake up in the morning to see what horror Donald Trump has committed overnight. And so.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's acting like he can just go bomb any country, anytime, anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And take his word for it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there were drugs on that boat.
Well, this is the thing. You know, every time the United States, or Israel for that matter, attacks, it's always, oh, we got terrorists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't hear about, you know, any civilians who are killed. They're all terrorists.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of horrifying. But it's part, what we're watching with Trump here is just part of this authoritarianism, mm-hmm. part of this fascist leader who disregards laws, disregards the Constitution, is tearing things up left and right at a speed that even scholars of authoritarianism are shocked at.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is an amazing time. It's like, what, 6 months, and we've seen this dramatic change.
Yeah,
and
I was reading, sorry to interrupt, I was reading something by New York University scholar Ruth Ben-Ghiad, who wrote the book Strong Men, mm-hmm. and she said she is amazed at how fast this has gone compared to what Putin did, for instance. Even Putin didn't go this fast once he came into power.
Well, you know, you can't really blame Trump. I don't think he has the capacity to understand any of this stuff. I believe it's the people behind him, certainly the people who came up with Project 2025.
And Stephen Miller,
too. And Stephen Miller, yes. They are executing this just very, very quickly to the point where we can't really react.
Yeah, but he's always wanted to be a dictator, though, Trump. So he's always fantasized about, you know, during the first term he was saying about Xi of China, he's president for life. Yeah. Wouldn't that be neat if that happened here?
You're right.
You know, so he's always been having this fantasy. And, you know, he used the word dictator last week, saying, well, some people think we should have a dictator. It'd be good if we had a dictator.
Yeah.
So he's just kind of warming the public up for what might be coming.
Well, one of the shocking things I heard is that the police union in Milwaukee is requesting ICE to enter Milwaukee. They're requesting Trump to bring ICE in.
Well, the police union in Milwaukee is a right-wing union. You know, they endorse Trump.
Yeah.
You know, they've been the most reactionary group in the police unions in Wisconsin. So it wasn't a shock to me. It was pretty horrifying, though. The mayor wasn't happy about it.
No.
What do you think, Matt, is going to happen in Chicago now that they pretty well announced they're going in?
You know, I'm scared to death about how this is going to unfold. Whether it's in Chicago or whether it's in D.C., I think before too long we're going to have another Kent State in the United States, that at some point the National Guard or ICE or the military units that Trump is calling up will end up firing on U.S. citizens, and people are going to die, and then what happens?
Yeah.
There'll be mass protests, and what happens after that? Trump will invoke the Insurrection Act and will be under martial law. So it's a real scary moment for our democracy. You can't really exaggerate the threat that Donald Trump poses to us. And I'm just hoping people who, you know, may have voted for Trump because they wanted a tax break or they thought the economy was going to be better or they said during his first term, oh, it wasn't all that bad. How bad can it get? We're seeing how bad it can get.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm hoping some of those folks are going to come around. And we do need nonviolent protests. That's really important.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking way back when, maybe blockading a city, it seems like Governor Pritzker would do something like that. He definitely said he would protect everybody in Chicago to the end. And I was thinking, geez, wouldn't they put up blockades and not allow the military, the National Guard from other areas to come into their city? Wouldn't that be something? That'd almost be like a civil war.
I mean, it's a crazy thing to contemplate that you'd have armed folks from the federal government facing off against armed folks from the local or state government.
Yes.
And not even civilians, which might happen too in Chicago, for instance.
That's right.
So it's just, it's really getting way beyond the scary point right now.
Well, why don't we play a cut here? This is cut number 10. Okay, let's play this.
Sorry, give me a second.
Okay. All right.
Get that going.
All right, here we go.
The Trump family just launched a brand new cryptocurrency. It is called WLFI.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's
Lauren,
that's not the one I
want to
hear. Cut 12. I'm sorry. It's cut 12.
Cut 12.
Could you cut through? Stop that one.
Okay.
This is Pritzker, by the way, and this is what he had said recently. Let's listen.
Mr. President, do not come to Chicago. Earlier today in the Oval Office, Donald Trump looked at the assembled cameras and asked for me personally to say, Mr. President, can you do us the honor of protecting our city?
When I have some slob like Pritzker criticizing us before we even go there, I made the statement that next should be Chicago, because as you all know, Chicago is a killing field right now. And they don't acknowledge it.
Instead, I say, Mr. President, do not come to Chicago. You are neither wanted here nor needed here. Hopefully, the president will reconsider this dangerous and misguided encroachment upon our state and our city's sovereignty. If you hurt my people,
there
nothing
is.
Will stop me, not time or political circumstance, from making sure that you face justice under our constitutional rule of law.
I'd like to see that threat actually for everybody who is complicit in the administration
carrying out
the orders.
But it might be easier with the people below Trump than Trump because of that horrible U.S. Supreme Court decision on presidential immunity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Chief Justice Roberts, along with Senator Mitch McConnell, are going to go down as the real villains of this story that's unfolding right before our eyes, because both of them could have stopped Trump.
Yeah, they definitely own this. And I think, wouldn't you think that if the Democrats at least went on the offensive and did threaten to go after the people who are going along with this, the appeasers, that maybe this would stop that, or at least put some roadblocks in place by those people who are really worried about maybe, being prosecuted someday for going along with what Trump has ordered?
Except I don't think they have that fear right now, because Trump has so much power, and he would just issue pardons to Stephen Miller or whoever's the architect of all these.
The pardon deal. Well, here's another perspective from Pritzker. This is cut 11, and this is another point that he brought up. All right. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm very worried about what Trump's doing to try to tilt the election in 2026 in his favor. Saying you can't have mail-in ballots and needing a national or voting ID things, all this stuff. I mean, that Scott Walker kind of previewed for us all back in 2011. And so, it wouldn't surprise. Nothing he would do would surprise me now.
I always thought everybody seems to be admitting that we have a gun problem, but they're just blaming liberal cities for the gun problem, right? And we have an absolute gun problem in this country, something they don't want to take care of.
And what I've read was that violent crime is higher in Republican-run cities and states than they are in Democratic-run cities and states. And yeah, we have a national problem, bipartisan problem.
Thanks, Matt, for leading me into that. I have a list of those cities.
Just so happy to share it with us.
Why not send the National Guard into Jackson, Mississippi? 72% out of 100,000. Okay, 72% violent crimes. Birmingham, Alabama, St. Louis, Missouri, Memphis, Tennessee, New Orleans, Louisiana. And, I mean, you know, way down on the list is Chicago and Los Angeles. So they're actually just going after liberal cities, and Trump has been pretty upfront about admitting that.
Yeah, and it's a fact-free zone. You know, we can say crime is up in D.C. when it's at a 30-year low. I mean, he doesn't care about the facts. He just cares about the show and the show of force. And him, you know, being the dominant person on your television screen all day long.
Exactly.
He's that pathological narcissist that you can read about.
Talking with Matt Rothschild here. And Matt, what do you think about Gavin Newsom's pushback to all this? I mean, he's been on a lot of social media mocking the way that Trump uses social media and going right after it and just saying, you know, don't come back to LA. I mean, this is wrong, and he's pushed back every step of the way.
Yeah, I think the trolling has been beautiful and probably gets under Trump's skin. The defiance is what we need. The only thing I disagree with Governor Newsom on is gerrymandering. Mm. Gerrymandering's wrong, whether Democrats do it or Republicans do it. I don't want to see Democrats doing it right now in response to what's going on in Texas. I think it turns off everyone but a diehard Democrat, because they're going to look at this and say, wow, the Democrats are as corrupt and dirty as the Republicans. To hell with both of them.
Well, here's the thing, and I disagree with you on that. I think we have to fight fire with fire. I've always said that. My wife has always argued with me about doing that, at least picking up some of what they do. They have a very offensive party. But at the same time, I think that we have to do things like that, especially in this particular case. This one instance, I think we have to do something like that, because they are just going to steamroll us. And we have to at least gerrymander. The difference is that the Democratic Party wants to do away with gerrymandering completely. They do not. That's always something that we should stress when we're arguing this whole point where, well, you know, Illinois is really gerrymandered. Well, they want to get rid of gerrymandering.
But that's a hard sell, John. It's a hard sell. Democrats are against gerrymandering, but we're going to gerrymander. Democrats in Illinois are against gerrymandering, but they've already gerrymandered.
We're doing it to counter what they're doing.
No, I understand the rationale. I just think you're not convincing folks, except those who are already deeply in your camp. And what we need to do is convince people who aren't in our camp right now about the danger that Trump poses.
Well, I just thought if we emphasized the fact that we do want to do away with gerrymandering in many states, we have done away with it, and it proves our case. And I think that's one way of, you know, saying, well, look, we'll go back to getting rid of gerrymandering once we take care of this problem of being defeated in Congress because we didn't gerrymander enough.
Yeah, but I think outsiders are going to say, yeah, right.
Well, I'm not convincing you. I know that.
All right. Matt, pleasure to have you in with us.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure. Anytime, guys.
All right. That's Matt Rothschild. His book is 12 Ways
to Save Democracy in Wisconsin.
That's it. Matt, thanks again. We're coming back with more of John Peterson and Gordy Young on WMDX. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Goosestep Mama on the cover charge. Goosestep Mama taken by and large. While you tinker with some tailor, someone sold you to a sailor. Goosestep Mama. Oh, yeah. Goosestep Mama.
I tell you, man, the The Ruddles. It changed rock and roll. I certainly.
The Ruddles. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, no, they were great.
Yeah, Neil Innes, fantastic songwriter.
Oh, no. I loved their stuff.
Yeah. He passed away recently, but boy, oh, really? Yeah. Great stuff. Mm-hmm. Absolutely great stuff. You know, the Beatles patterned their whole musical library career after the Ruddles.
After the Ruddles.
It was an incredible influence.
Yeah, yeah.
People say that wasn't real, but I truly believe that there was some.
Is that what you believe? Okay. Hey, let's get a weather check and see what's going on around our area. We had some showers overnight, and I don't know if we are in for maybe a little bit more of that. Let's check in with WMDX meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany. What do you think?
Good morning, guys. Hi. How's it going this morning?
Well, good.
It's going all right. We had a few showers around 3 or 4 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
But
same here. Woke me up. The thunder rolled. Got out of bed. I'm like, darn it, this is too early.
It is.
But we still got a few more headed our way right now. We've got some showers and thunderstorms in the area working its way towards you. It'll be mostly cloudy today. Temperature's not changing much. You're at 64 degrees right now. You're only going to make it to 67 today. So just a few degrees. Then we crash tonight down to about 40. So stuck with the breezy conditions after that tomorrow, but the sun will be out tomorrow. Highs at about 65 degrees. More rain rolls in late tomorrow. And then we stay dry Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Still cooler in the low 60s Friday, mid-60s Saturday and Sunday, and back to 70 degrees by Monday. So,
wow.
Okay.
That sounds great. And it's not bad for Thursday because we have a Brewer game that Gordon and I are going to go to
tomorrow
with a few of our listeners.
That's right.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. It's an afternoon game.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good stuff. Yep. Rain's going to hold off until like 11 o'clock at night. So you are good to go.
Mm-hmm. And then looking ahead to the weekend, Saturday, we have our WMDX listener appreciation party, which is partially outside. And we do have an indoor place to go as well at Downdrin's Distilling. How's the weather shaping up for Saturday?
Think it's gonna beautiful. Be okay? It'll still be breezy in the morning, but those winds will die down by the afternoon. Highs in the mid-60s. Nice and sunny. Nothing but sunshine.
All right.
And you're still planning on coming, right?
I am.
Okay.
Back in the flannel, probably. Mid-60s flannel weather.
Yeah, definitely.
The flannel out. Okay. All right, Brittany. Thank you.
Because she's going to be there, she made sure the weather was just fine.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. So it can't be storming. I can't get questioned.
Yeah, that's right.
That's okay.
All right.
Thank you, Brittany.
All right.
You have a good day.
Bye, guys.
WMDX meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Joe is patiently waiting on the line. What do you got for us this morning, Joe? Go ahead.
Just thanks so much for that interview with Matt Rothschild. He is he's a state treasurer, absolutely.
Really?
And I think it was so interesting that he was on today, because talking about what Scott Walker had done is sort of mini Trump, soon to be maxi Trump, that we're living through now.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the old line is the past is prelude. And I would argue that prelude is happening pretty hot and heavy today. There is a media event that's happening. It's a bipartisan one with Representative Ro Khanna from the Democratic side and Representative Thomas Massie from the Republican side, who are co-sponsors of a bill called the Epstein Files Transparency Act. Mm. They want to release the Epstein files. At 10:30 today, they're having a group of women, and maybe as many as 100, who are victims of Epstein.
Yes.
And so this is a big day in terms of getting some attention back on probably one of the most important points, which is Epstein. What happened? They were on, the files were on Pam Bondi's desk. No, they didn't exist. Then we had FBI employees spending how many hours taking out Trump's names out of the non-existent files. So anyway, that is happening today. The guy is so petty. I don't know if this has been confirmed or not, but there are suggestions that the military has suddenly had a planned flyover Washington, D.C. during the time that these women are going to be speaking. So you know, anything to shut them
up. That's unbelievable. Yes.
But it's, isn't that perfect? Yeah. Isn't that perfect? So I think today will be a high day of distraction in terms of trying to keep attention away from these women who are bravely standing up.
Yes.
And, man, it's a tough place to be. It's a very tough place for them to be. And I applaud their courage.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I hope the rest of us listen to what they have to say.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, all right, Joe, for that
good
reminder.
Good points. Yeah. Thank you. All right.
You know, I always think of the video of the testimony of these young girls.
Right.
That were never used because they were threatened and they withdrew any kind of charges against Trump. Mm. But that stuff is so clear. It's so clearly Trump. They, you know, they were talking about him and what had gone on. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of guy he is. You know, this was testimony that they didn't eventually, you know, follow through with, but it's testimony nevertheless. It's proof on video. I've watched it. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that all these victims are coming out today to talk about it.
Let's go back to the phones. We just have a minute here, Charles. What do you got for us this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. Two things. Mm-hmm. First one, I'll piggyback off of Joe. I am shocked that they didn't blow up more than one boat yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised if there's not another boat blown up before this press conference with these women that would rape those girls. And Trump was there. He knew all about it. You don't have that many pictures and videos of him with Epstein, and he wasn't part of that whole pedophile ring. And the second thing is, I understand Matt's point, but I think that's one of the reasons why their numbers are so low is because we don't fight back.
Right.
We allow them to slap us in the face, and we take it, and we need to fight back.
Yeah.
Charles,
all right, good point, Charles. Thank you very much.
Thanks for that call. We've got the Midwest Food and Farm Report coming up, and right around the corner, Mike McCabe will join us on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMBX. Stay with us.
Yeah, who would have thought the American dream would be killing us? John and Gordy in the Morning at WMDX 92.7 on your Civic Media app as well. You can text us or voice note us. We'd love to hear from you. We take your calls as well.
Mm-hmm. 608-879-8255 is our number. Weather today, cloudy. What you see is what you're going to get. Clouds and maybe a couple of sprinkles along the way. Highs just into the mid-60s for today.
Can I bring this up? You know, we've got a Brewer game coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
A few listeners and John and Gordy will be there. And
right.
I just want to mention ahead of time here,
buy
your parking tickets today.
Okay.
Not tomorrow. They're double the price on game day.
Yes.
So order your tickets online.
Yes. So our listeners that are, if they're listening right now, do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Order them online. We'll meet you at the,
the app that
at our seats.
You use for that
ballpark?
Ballpark
app,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
I think it's called ballpark, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We had a text here from Tom about the listener appreciation party that's happening at Downdrin's Distilling on Saturday. He wants to know, do you have any time details on that? Yes, that starts at 3 o'clock, Tom. 3 o'clock. Is the start time at Downdrin's Distilling for our WMDX Listener Appreciation Party. Okay. All right. Let's get to Mike McCabe. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. We have you with us just about every Wednesday. So good to see you again.
Substack author and former head of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt was the person who followed you.
That's
as
right.
the leader of that.
Matt
That's
Rothschild.
Right. Yeah.
Did you run into him in the hallway?
I did not. I'm guessing he took the elevator and I took the stairs, but I missed him.
Okay.
I was listening to you guys talking with him on the way into the studio, and I thought maybe I would bump into him, but no.
Okay. You know, this thing where Trump wants to go into these cities because they're just out of control, too much crime. The crime is actually a gun problem. And it's just an avoidance issue for them, you know, bringing in the National Guard. It's all a side track. It's all distracting us from the actual problem of guns being the problem. And we had that recent shooting in Minnesota, you know, the two children killed in a Christian school. And by the way, the shooter is, you know, like he had every reason in the world that he wanted to go and shoot somebody. He was against everything. You can't nail him as a left or right person. He had every one of the reasons why he wanted to go out and shoot somebody. And that was the crazy part. And they call him transgender as well. And he's not really truly transgender. He just, you know, was kind of curious about having some other way of referencing himself. But that was it. You know, so it isn't like another transgender individual going out there shooting people, which is, you know, another stereotype that the right wing would like to at least implant in our brains. It's not true, of course. But what do you think about your latest Substack is in regards to these shootings?
Yeah, I was talking to someone I've known for years, and much to my surprise, find out that she actually went to that school. As a child.
Oh. Really?
And has a, you know, close connection to that school. And then I also heard from somebody, another longtime acquaintance, who knows the family of one of the children who was killed.
Wow.
And particularly has a close connection to the grandparents. So here in Wisconsin, there are people for whom this hits really close to home, because these are personal connections. But to me, that's the thing that our society has to come to terms with. It's like people in America are taking a calculated risk that these things happen, but it won't happen at my child's school or in our church. It'll be somebody else. And so we rationalize this continued unwillingness to deal with the fact that we allow people to go in and readily purchase, easily purchase weapons that are only designed to kill large numbers of people.
Right.
And you know, and armor-piercing bullets and 30-round magazines so that you can fire off a couple of dozen shots in a matter of a couple of seconds. But our society still keeps rationalizing. And the politicians, of course, reflect this.
Mm-hmm.
They offer their thoughts and prayers, but they offer no action. But we've got a society-wide problem here that is at the root of the gun problem that we have. And it's this fact that America is armed to the teeth. We have had hundreds of millions of guns in this country, and people want it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be heavily armed for whatever reason, whatever they're scared of, I don't know. But it sure isn't just to go hunting, because there's just no. And I mentioned this in the article.
Yes, you do.
If you need an assault weapon that can fire off 30 rounds in a matter of seconds to kill a deer, you're a miserable hunter.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You are no darn good at it, and you really should get out of the woods. But you know, people want to be heavily armed.
Yeah,
and that's the cultural problem that we have to come to terms with. If we're ever going to solve this. And every other nation in the world doesn't have the same problem that we have, you know, with all of these mass shootings and killings in movie theaters and churches and schools. It's a uniquely American problem.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's protection of some of the paraphernalia as well, you know, the bump stocks, large cartridges. The other thing that I can't understand, and I don't know how the courts are always deciding that it's an infringement on the Second Amendment, but, you know, a bump stock is not preventing you from having a gun.
Right.
So I don't know why we can't regulate all of the paraphernalia and all the extras that go with firearms. Why can't we regulate that stuff? It doesn't prevent somebody from owning a firearm, which that's their argument.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop them. Why can't we regulate this stuff? You know, I remember hearing Tom Hartman mention at the end of a little rant that he had about guns, and that is that some countries require a insurance policy.
Yeah.
And I just thought, wow, you know, having private industry regulate guns would be a great way to great way to do it, because they're not going to give an insurance policy to somebody who they think is a risk.
You know, there's nothing inconsistent with the Second Amendment and requiring gun owners to be licensed.
Yes.
And guns to be registered.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And have an insurance policy, a liability insurance for gun owners in case something bad happens. None of that is inconsistent with the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment, those who believe that we should be free to bear arms, how extreme do you take that position? Does it extend to weapons of mass destruction? Should you be able to possess nuclear weapons because you have a Second Amendment right? That's preposterous.
Yeah.
But that's just how ridiculous this debate has become. Of course, it's not. It's no violation or infringement on the Second Amendment to say that you shouldn't be able to have a 30-round magazine to fire off all these rounds, and that the bullet, it's not an infringement on the Second Amendment to say they shouldn't be armor piercing,
mm-hmm.
and you shouldn't be able to have a military style assault weapon, which is only its only purpose is to kill people and large numbers of people. But there's a cultural unwillingness to grapple with what's at the root of this problem.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Mike McCabe here, Substack blogger and author. And you talking about military style assault weapons. Now, during the Clinton administration, they were able to ban those, at least for a time.
And mass killings dropped.
Way down.
And then when the assault weapons ban was lifted,
they went up.
There was a huge spike.
Yeah.
Well over 100% spike in mass killing.
Why can't we get to that place again?
Exactly. And you know, the reality again is that America is armed to the teeth, mm-hmm. and likes it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to come to terms with is the cultural underpinnings of this problem.
Well, I think it's a misinterpretation of the Second Amendment as well.
Of course.
I mean, I've been blaming the Supreme Court for almost every one of the problems that we have today.
No constitutional right is absolute. The First Amendment is not an absolute right. There are things you can't say, mm-hmm. and there are circumstances when you can't say certain things.
Yes, exactly.
And that's not that doesn't mean we don't have the right to free speech in this country. It means that we have certain guardrails in place. There are certain limits placed on the exercise of that right. Why is the Second Amendment the only amendment that's immune from that mm-hmm. logic?
Yeah.
Why do we allow this argument to be foisted on us that the Second Amendment somehow means that there can be absolutely no limit of any kind? There can be no constraint on the exercise of that right. That is preposterous.
Well, you know,
and that's America.
There's a guarantee that we can vote, right? And that's left to the states to decide how that's done.
And some people lose their voting rights.
And they do lose their, and they have to sign up.
Exactly.
And they have to register.
Exactly.
And a lot of the Republicans say, well, you know,
you have to show photo ID in order to exercise that.
A little
right.
inconvenience isn't too much to ask.
Right.
But they don't make that argument for the right to bear arms.
Correct.
And that's the odd part. That's
correct.
The strange part.
Correct.
Yeah. Mike, in your article, you say, well, the subtitle here is "This Week's Horrific News Reminded Me Why I Won't Be Running for Office Again in My Future." So why wouldn't you run again?
Well, there's a long list of reasons why I wouldn't run
but
again.
But it's not just that.
But I was a candidate for governor in 2018. And mm-hmm. and during that campaign, I took the position that there should be at least 16 steps taken to promote gun safety and deal with gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those steps were an infringement on the Second Amendment, but they created limits, reasonable and responsible common sense limits on gun ownership and gun use. Mm-hmm. And I had people accusing me of trying to ban hunting. And again, you know, if you...
They take it to that limit, don't they?
Yeah. Bump stocks are simply a device that can turn an ordinary weapon into a semi-automatic weapon, a weapon of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody needs a bump stock to go hunting. Nobody needs a 30-round magazine. Nobody needs, a military-style assault weapon. Mm-hmm. All of these laws would be not only reasonable and responsible, but they would substantially reduce the likelihood of these mass shootings. When even one of these steps was taken by our country, mass killings dropped, and they dropped pretty dramatically.
Yeah.
And then when that law was repealed, they spiked again. And I took 16 steps, not one, but 16. And of course, the gun rights advocates wanted nothing to do with it, but it also didn't lead to significant support for a campaign.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's
a little surprising.
That says a lot about our culture.
Yep.
Mike, stay with us. We will continue with Mike McCabe in just a moment on John Peterson and Gordy Young in the Morning on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Yeah, it's a mean old world, WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning.
Cloudy day today, highs in the mid to upper 60s. Tomorrow on the show, we will welcome in Capital Times publisher Paul Fanland, talking about Idea Fest, that's coming up. And Tim Slecker will rejoin us, talking education. We're back with Mike McCabe for a few more minutes.
I want to bring up something that my mega friend in Milwaukee always tells me about gun violence. You know, I say, yes, guns are the problem. And he comes back with, no, we have to change the hearts and minds of people. We can't take their guns away, but if we can change their hearts and minds. And then, of course, my comeback now is, where are those individuals changing the hearts and minds? Is that something the legislature put together? Is that Congress? Have they got those groups out there working to change the hearts and minds of people? Of course not. There's no one out there changing the hearts and minds of anybody. Their excuse.
And if there's somebody with such a warped mind and such a hardened heart that hates so much that they're willing to go into a Catholic school or a church and shoot at children who are sitting in pews, why on earth would we want those people to have guns?
Right. Yeah.
If people are the problem, like the gun rights advocates always like to say.
Exactly.
That it's not the guns, it's the people. But if there are people that disturbed, why would we possibly want them to be able to own firearms?
And they act like we can change their heart and we can change their mind. If we just work on it a little bit, again, there's no congressional legislation or laws and groups put together to go out there and fan our cities and try to change everybody's heart and mind. There's nothing like that out there, so it's just an empty rhetorical thing to bring up in an argument, in a debate.
Mike, you mentioned last week after we talked with you that your son works in media up there as a television producer.
That's right.
That's
you mentioned
correct.
That
in Minneapolis the area there.
So I was actually watching their morning news this morning when I got up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they continue. One of the victims now has had half of her skull removed.
Wow. My God.
And she may or may not make it. So there may be more than two children die out of this. But the vice president is coming into Minneapolis today, and so he's been writing about this. He's a news producer at one of the network affiliates in the Twin Cities, and he's been writing about this since the incident occurred, and then in all of the aftermath. And it's been a tough last few days for him, for sure.
I'm sure.
Just to see it and see the footage, and you know this. People in newsrooms see a lot of stuff that never the public never sees.
Yeah.
Because of the graphic nature of it, and it's been a rough few days for him.
Yeah.
Well, it's tough because in the media, you want to get the facts, you want to get the story out, but there are some things that are restricted from getting out until they notify the families.
And there's footage that you'll never see that you don't want to show people,
right?
And nobody should have to see,
right?
Or at least that's our society's view of it. But man, sometimes I got to tell you, sometimes I think maybe we should just have to see it.
Yeah, see how bad.
Because
it is.
maybe that would be part of what would change some hearts and minds,
yeah.
John.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened during Vietnam. Yeah. Right? I mean, we came into the living room every night, and some of that footage was not censored.
Right, and remember the decision that Emmett Till's mother made?
Yes.
Deciding to have an open casket so that people would see what was done to her son.
Right.
And that had to have been an excruciating choice for a mother to make, but that's the choice she happened to make. I think a lot of mothers would not have done that, but she did. And people don't understand when there were 17 people injured in addition to the two children killed.
Yeah.
People don't realize the severity of those injuries.
Of those injuries.
Those weapons do to the human body.
Yes.
We don't even think about them because they survived.
Yeah.
Right? But they have serious injuries for many years.
Yeah, just this morning it was reported that one of the victims had half of her skull removed because the swelling on her brain was so severe. And some of the wounds to extremities are just horrendous. But the victims will survive because they're just wounds to arms or legs. But the emotional damage to them as well.
Yeah. Mike, psychological we have a damage. Couple of texts here. Troy mentions, if you truly believe it's the people, you'd be for red flag laws.
And that deals
with people.
And better than red flag laws. Red flag laws were one of the 16 steps that I suggested for Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that it's not enough to put that pressure on families to report, to sort of self-report.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be a really comprehensive response to this. There's no one law that will make all the difference. That's why I thought that there needed to be 16 steps.
Yeah.
And I thought they were all, reasonable steps, and they were all within the confines of any reasonable interpretation of a constitutional right. But then you have people, like I said, who just don't think that there can be any kind of guardrails put up with respect to the Second Amendment.
We have another response from Patrick. The mistake we all make is to try logic as a way to persuade people who have turned gun ownership into a cult. And I think that sums it up, really.
Yeah. Mike, we got to run, but you have something coming up you wanted to mention?
I got a number of things coming up this month, but one of them is local. On the 27th, a Saturday at 10 o'clock, I'm going to be part of an author showcase at Wanakee Public Library. So if people want to meet some local authors, and me included.
That's this Saturday?
No, it's Saturday the 27th.
27th.
So toward the end of the month.
Okay. Yep.
Saturday the 27th at 10 a.m. Wanakee Public Library.
And be sure to check out Mike's Substack article. Go to the Substack anytime. That's going to do it for us. Coming up tomorrow, Paul Fanlon from the Capital Times, publisher there, talking about Idea Fest. Also, Tim Slecker joins us. That'll do it for us. Stephanie Miller is next. John, have a good day.
All right. You too.
Talk to you tomorrow. So long.
See you later.
Mañana.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.